and very special in the pregame show today. We're joined by the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants, Ron Wotus, and an icon as well in Bay Area sports. There's no one like him. At CSN Bags with two G's, Andy Baggerly. Well, good morning, Andy. Good morning.
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning, Marty. Nice roundtable we got going here.
Yeah, this is good. You know, we wait for Sunday morning. Javier Lopez sits in the parking lot, you know, to hear the professor. And that's he is the professor.
I think he does baseball. That so he can give me a hard time when I get into the clubhouse.
You know, I'm going to start a little bit with just today, the meaning of today for everybody. You know, we all go through this in the same way. We start in February, we stand there, you never know where it's going to go. And here you are on the last day, not what it was last year, but it's a little different. Well, I'll start with you. How do you feel today?
Yeah, well, you know, It's always sentimental in a couple of ways. I mean, it's the last game of the year. There's no going forward tomorrow. This situation this year is completely different than it would be if we were in the playoffs or if, this game was meaningful. I think at this point in time, after we've all been through this year, you know, guys, as much as they love being together, they're ready to go home and see their families. You know, it's been a challenging year for us, and you know they're ready to go. It's been a long haul as it is, a grind, and I think guys are ready to go home, see their families, and take some time off and heal up.
Andy, kind of reflect a little bit on how you feel today and the beginning of this season as we start in Scottsdale and you make it all the way here. It's quite a journey.
Well, I think today is a meaningful day, and I think today this season has been a meaningful season because it amplifies how special last year was, how special 2010 was, how hard it is to do that, how much good fortune you have, how many breaks have to go your way, how guys have to stay healthy. You know, there's so many pitfalls that can drag a team down, and 29 teams are going to get knocked out, whether it's knocked out in May or knocked out in Game 7 of the World Series, and only one team's going to be left standing, and this franchise was that team two of the last 3 years. And you go through a year like this, and you do realize and appreciate how hard it is. And talking to Jeremy Affeldt the other day, he said, I think guys are going to come back hungry again next year. And I do believe that they will.
Well, we hope he's not hungry for hamburgers.
No.
Well, we don't need that, you know.
You're sharp in the morning, Martin.
Look, I've been up since 6 o'clock, you know. I got to be ready for this today because I knew you guys were going to be here. But what we love to predict in baseball, and that's why I say when we get to Scottsdale, we all stand around and hear the ball popping in that mitt on those 8 pitchers' mounds, and we stand there and say, all right, that guy's going to make it. He's going to do well. Why is it about baseball? We all want to predict what's going to happen because we think we can predict it.
Right. Well, that's what you do. I mean, when you put your team together, you have expectations. When you look at the other club, you see the personnel, you have expectations on whether they're going to win, lose, what they need, what they don't need. And, I mean, look at all the media today. I mean, it's overwhelming, and that's really what the sport is, people trying to predict what's going to happen. So that's part of it. That's why I think so many people love baseball. They have their opinions. They can delve into it with whichever team is their favorite and have their own opinions on what's going to happen.
Extra?
Yeah, well, you know, I just think it's we're lucky here because we have a passionate fan base. We have people who care. And, you know, yeah, that means that they are going to really chirp and get on certain players or get on Bruce Bochy for hitting a guy third instead of fourth, or, oh, Posey should play, third base or first base, or, you know, leave Belt out there or give Brett Pill a chance. You know, some of these people find all kinds of things to carp on, and sometimes you think it's just the hood ornament on the car type of a deal. It's people really get involved, but that's because they're passionate and they're invested in it. And I think that's what the Giants have been very fortunate to be able to do, very skilled to be able to do, is have a fan base be so emotionally invested in this team year in and year out. We've had sellouts for every day this year, and now they're giving $90 million to Hunter Pence, who has been probably the most inspirational guy that I can remember playing in a Giants uniform in a long time, and I think that's a good sign to the fans too, that you do the right things, you contribute to a winning environment every day. You're the kind of guy we want to commit to, and they're going to make that commitment today.
You know, I do the shows. Of course, you guys hear the call-in show at night after the game, and everybody has an idea. You know, he should have done this, and me included. He should have done that. And sometimes I say to myself, gee, I wonder if Woe is listening to this or Sabian's listening. And he goes, you know something? I didn't think of that. Marty Lurie, thank goodness. The caller from Colma said, well, we should hit Posey fourth. I didn't think of that. But you guys think of everything, and that's the funny part of it. You know, you're the experts in the world, and really, so there's not much you miss.
Well, you have to go over it. I mean, this is our life. This is what we do. You know, you got up at 6 this morning here to be ready for this show. We do the same thing to be ready for the game. And there's a lot that goes into it. You know, 25 guys, and we've needed all 40 on our 40-man roster this year, you know, with injuries. And so there's a lot going on. It takes really the whole organization. It takes a lot of evaluation and a lot of decision, and you make the best choices that you can, and hopefully they work out.
Boy, Andy brought up Hunter Pence. You know, $90 million, 5 years is going to happen today. I assume he passed his physical. I assume
he's playing in his 162nd right. game, so I'm pretty sure he's going right. to be okay.
He's all right. He's eating his kale this morning, and you know, unless it does something to his blood test, I assume he's okay. Hunter Pence, and Andy said something very interesting. Maybe the most inspirational player. Yeah. Have you ever been around a guy like this? And,
well,
You know, we saw him in spring training. You and I talked about it, and you watch him for a full season now.
Right. Well, I think, you know, he's a real throwback in regard is the way he plays the game. You know, and even more inspirational by the way the things that he says, the way that he leads. But really the thing that I think that rubs off on his teammates, and you have to have the ultimate respect for him, is the way he approaches a game every day. There's no quit. There's no negative. Negativity, and you know, that's hard to find people that are as committed and focused and continually grinded out the way he does. There's not many in the game. I mean, I haven't been around another player who outwardly, physically, and mentally is engaged every single pitch, every inning, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's not, as Mike Matheny uses the word eyewash, it's none of it's eyewash. I mean, He is the, if I had to use one word to describe him, I'd say genuine. And that's what he is. And he always says the right thing. And you can tell when you look at him in those big, you know, pie saucer eyes of his that he means it. You know, he really does. And he is. He's very positive. You hardly ever see him down. I thought he said it best in his speech. He's got two goals, to go hard and love every minute of it. And I was cracking up in the press box when he said, oh, Buster, I know you're not going to like to hear this, but I love you. You know, and you think that's soft, but I think that's the strongest thing we got. I mean, everything he says, you could put on an inspirational calendar. It's like, wow, is this guy for real? And he is.
Yeah, he's pretty good about it. You know, Chuck Tanner, would you tell me this, Will, the other day? Someone told me this, but Chuck Tanner was the ultimate optimist. You know,
we talked about that a few weeks ago.
If you're four games behind with three to go, Chuck says you still got a chance to win.
Right.
You know, and as Pagan said yesterday, if we're down 20-0 in the ninth inning, Pence is going to come in and say, "Come on, we can still get this thing done."
Well, and you know, let's not downplay that. You know, they're not giving him all this money because you know he's an inspirational guy. I mean, he's been very productive on the field, and he's going to play in every game this season. He's missed 16 innings, I think. I figured out it's about 98.9% of the team's innings in right field he's played, and 27 homers. He's the first Giants outfielder to hit 20 homers since Barry Bonds. Mm. You go over the list and you think, wow, you know, there hasn't been Pat Burrell's the closest. He had 18, you know, I think he's fifth in the National League in home runs, even playing half his games in this ballpark. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that, you know what, there's no question about that. I mean, you know, that's the other side of it. Obviously, we take it for granted. He puts up the numbers every year, and he warrants that type of contract. The numbers are there, as Bags is saying. And, you know, a lot of guys get numbers, but to get numbers and approach the game the way he does is really makes what makes him, you know, so special, because he influences the guys around him a little bit. He's got the attitude and the approach that you want. And you know, to do it in this ballpark, what is career high in home runs, you know, and there's a lot talked about this ballpark and how the ball doesn't carry. So he's had a tremendous year, and we're happy to have him back for five more.
Yeah, yeah. He's a guy you can put in every pencil him in every day. He doesn't get hurt. He shows up, and he's a good attitude. But my question is, last year he hits about 220. And, you know, he tops about 60,000 balls down the left third base line and drives in some runs. This year, the guy turns into what we thought he was going to be last year. How did this happen? What's the difference?
Well, that's baseball, Marty. I mean,
as they say, take a drink.
You know, if you look at, you know, you can look at other players in the game. I mean, you know, there's not one thing you can put your finger on. But I do know this, and you look at the back of a lot of great baseball players' baseball cards, and you're going to have years where you have 20 less RBIs, or you hit 330, you hit 280. I mean, there's going to be variables. You know, this game isn't as easy as it looks, and I think that overall his numbers were very, very good. Last year, he is a streaky hitter, but you know we all get evaluated on postseason play, big games. You know those things always come to mind. I mean Barry Bonds. Look at Barry. For all those years, he was ridiculed to some degree that he couldn't perform in a big game, and then 2002 World Series, he goes off. So the game's not as easy as you think. You know, good pitching will make it tough on hitters, and but Hunter, when it's all said and done over a course of a year, he's going to have his numbers. He's proven that.
Yeah. I think still the biggest hit he had was in the game against Cincinnati in the inning where you guys scored the one run. And, you know, he came back to the dugout. He couldn't walk. He was cramped right up. The guy could not walk. He hits a ground ball anywhere that's caught by an infielder. He won't even get out of the batter's box. And he somehow pokes one through the right side and with Posey on first. And it was the biggest hit, I think, the guy. Well, of course, the triple-double hit. Yeah, the three bad hit where it hit the bat three times was pretty good. But was that one, Andy? That wasn't the one where he hit it. Is that the one where
he hit it? That was against the Cardinals,
yeah,
wasn't it?
But this is the one against Cincinnati. But that, to me, was maybe the most amazing thing because I thought it was a Kirk Gibson moment. I thought he was finished.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hunter Pence is all those things. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, he shows it to us every day. And we know one thing. He'll be in the lineup today, too, won't he?
Really?
Yeah.
Will Zito be in the lineup today?
Well, I think so. I think Boach, you know, would like to give him, you know, a chance to the fans a chance to cheer for Barry one more time. So I anticipate Boach will find a way to get him in the game today.
Not in center field or first baseman?
No, you know, but Barry is he is a pretty good runner, you know, and there has been times that when we needed a pinch runner that his name has come up and we'd use him in that regard.
What do you call it? The Arabian horse gallop. One more Arabian horse gallop.
Is that what it is? Well, maybe we'll stay away from that and just put him on the mound.
Well, he had the helmet on Friday night.
Yeah, he did. Well, you know, when we need a bunter sometimes, and our roster in September here is a little bit depleted. We've had a lot of guys. I mean, you look at the card, you know, the first couple of weeks in September, we had all these choices. Right now, there's not many options. So the pitchers may be needed or called upon the bunt or pinch run if we need them.
All right. One other guy I want to mention, and that is Javier Lopez. You know, he is a free agent. And again, you don't win a couple of World Series without him, and he gets so many big outs. This may be his last time in San Francisco. Nobody's sort of making a big deal about it. I think he ought to get some curtain call today or something.
Maybe I'm just assuming he's going to be back. And we went through this with Lindskum the other day, too.
So?
I mean, do you know how to say goodbye when you don't know if it's goodbye? You know, it's kind of an interesting situation. And I think that's why Boach didn't want Timmy to have his big curtain call and send off, because he didn't want to put a period where we weren't done talking here. I mean, they want to bring him back and don't want him to have even that sort of mental thought that he's done as a Giant, that he's going to go elsewhere. So and same with Lopez. In fact, I was joking with him the other day. He gave up a homer. It was the second he's given up in 3+ years as a Giant. He's faced 605 batters, which is basically a full season of at-bats for a regular, and he's given up 2 home runs. And I said, basically, you've turned every hitter that you've faced into Juan Pierre. And he said, or Ryan Terrio.
He's funny.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he is.
He's a great man on the team, too. I mean, you talked about Hunter. Javi, you know, to the bullpen is the man. He's the mainstay. He's the experience. He's the, you know, the voice of reason and knows how to go about it. All the things we said about Hunter, you could say the same thing about Javi, but you don't see it. You know, it's a little more quiet. He leads by example. He talks to guys. Yeah. And his performance speaks for itself. So hopefully we can get it done and get him back with us, because he's a huge part of this bullpen.
Yeah, and he was in the Willie Mack running, as I understand. He got a lot of votes for that award this year.
I voted him for the Good Guy Award. Brandon Crawford got it, who was I was very glad to see him win as well. But, you know, your left-handed sort of situational guy usually isn't sort of one of your team spokespeople, but I know he's one of the guys that Bruce Bochy checks in with a lot to get the temperature of the people in the clubhouse and how guys are taking losses or wins or whatever. And he's just so intelligent. I mean, he can pretty much relate to anybody in that room. He's a friendly face, and he always has something interesting to say. So, you know, I certainly think they're going to make every effort to bring him back.
Well, they say I'm the therapist for the fans on the call-in show, but he's my therapist. When I right. need, you know, I said, I need the psychologist. Tell me what's going on here. And he's pretty good about it. Yeah. And the other thing about him, and you know, Mariano Rivera wants to play center field today. You know,
oh, he does.
Yeah, he's not going to pitch anymore, but he wants to play center field. Javier Lopez can play the outfield. You and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, you bring in the lefty for a batter. Then you got a righty. You bring the righty in. Then you want to bring the lefty back in. You put him in the field somewhere. This guy could do that, and he says he could play out there.
Yeah, oh, he'd love to do it. I mean, if you told him he was going to do that, he'd be so excited. I mean, he'd want to do it the next day too. That would be the problem. Yeah, no, he's that type of athlete. I mean, he shows it on the mound. I mean, when you talk about a pitcher fielding his position, this guy is. They don't get any better. He can make the tremendous play. He makes a routine play. He's quick off the mound. So yeah, there's a lot of things he could do on the field, and he never gets a chance to hit. But I bet you, if you put him up there, he would. He'd do a pretty good job there as well.
Yeah, but if you put Lopez in the outfield, then Brandon Belt's going to say, okay, then I get to pitch. That's how this works.
Well, maybe he will.
Maybe he will.
Who knows?
You know, Marty, I want to ask back something. He talked about the Good Guy Award. I didn't know they had that. And I know Bill Hayes is an avid listener of the show. And they don't have a Good Guy Award for the coaches because, I think Billy would win it. There'd be no doubt about it.
Well, I'll tell you, one year I was covering the Angels, and I don't know how this happened, but Mick Billmeyer, who was the bullpen catcher, won the Good Guy Award. So that kind of tells you that maybe we didn't have the best relationship with the players that year.
Sounds like Terry Collins' year, maybe.
I think it might have been one of TC's years.
Could have been one of those years. Looking at, let's take a break. I want to talk a little bit about New York and the excitement of Rivera and Pettit and all that stuff, the way they do it in New York. You guys were there. It's an amazing baseball moment. And what Rivera means to the game and watching him. You know, you're in a special place, special time last Sunday to see it. So we'll take a break. Andy Bagley here, Ron Wotus, and we'll be back with them right after this on the Sports Leader.
Hey, this is Buster Posey. You're listening to Giants Warm Up with Marty Lurie. KMBR 680, the sports leader.
We're joined by Andy Baggerly this morning and Ron Wotus here. Nice to have you guys. And last weekend in New York, quite a special moment. And you were both there. I watched it on TV. And first of all, Petit goes on the mound. I don't know. His legs weren't shaking in that day. But Andy, your thoughts about how they presented the whole thing in New York? I know we talked to you on the way to the park. You said it was a frenzy outside the park.
Yeah, it was. And you knew that everyone was going into the ballpark knowing, expecting that they were going to see something special, that they were going to keep their ticket stubs and say, I was here on this day. And I even thought it was neater what we saw the other day when Andy Pettit and Derek Jeter walked to the mound to, you know, take Rivera out for his last big league appearance on the mound or his last appearance at Yankee Stadium. And Rivera's just like crying on Pettit's shoulder. And finally, Pettit's saying, okay, Mariano, we got to move this along here. Come on. So, but that was probably the more emotional. Seeing a number get retired out there in Monument Park. Yeah, I was going to call it Monument Valley. That's not right.
No. That
you realize how special that is, and you look at the names and who has had their number retired out there. And, you know, this is a unique situation because, you know, they're retiring a number that's still active, and yet nobody's going to wear 42 anyway. He's the last guy who was grandfathered in to wear Jackie Robinson's number. Now, of course, nobody's going to wear 42, so you might as well honor him while he's still standing there. And it was a cool thing. It was really neat to be part of that environment. First time in the new stadium for me, and I thought they did a great job with it. I really it took you back to the old park. It made you feel like you almost were in the old park. So a fun trip and a fun week, very unique trip to New York.
You know, it's funny, Ron, you explained it, but in the old Yankee Stadium, they had the monuments, you know, in center field, and of course, young players would come in there. They thought the players were buried out there. They thought it was, you know, and then some of the center fields would put a ball behind the monuments. If anything happened, they'd go and get a ball and throw it back in. So it really was quite a dramatic way to have a ballpark with monuments like that in center field. And you're in New York, American, an East Coast guy.
Yeah.
What was your feeling about being out there that day?
Well, you know, obviously a lot of the similar things that, Bags just talked about. I think when you look at players in the game, you know, my short span in the game, you know, as long as I've been in the game, there's very few players that come along that you have so much respect for, and he's certainly one of them. And I know in the clubhouse, all the young players and the veteran players, everybody wanted a Rivera autograph. They wanted a signed jersey. They were so excited to be there for that moment. And you could see the respect that everybody has for him, because not just what he accomplished on the field, which is the best closer of all time with one pitch, you know, to boot, but the person, how classy he is, and everybody knows that. Everybody that knows him loves him, and the Yankees did it right. It was a great day.
You've been around moments like that, Andy, on the field, you know, to see that kind of retirement of a number, the icon, the legend saying goodbye?
Yeah, you know, it reminded me of Cal Ripken a little bit. Didn't see that in person, obviously, but seeing it That's from afar. You know, and we've seen some other good guys over the years, and Todd Helton had a nice moment with the Rockies the other day, and you know, he's a little bit forgotten about outside of that 303 area code, but he certainly meant a lot to that franchise. With Rivera, I think what makes him so special is he, you know, he basically took the most pressure cooker job in the most pressure cooker environment on the biggest team, on the biggest stage, and he was probably baseball's most calming influence of all time. He was Xanax to the Yankees for two decades, you know, and you think of all the pressure it takes to wear that uniform and all the pressure situations he's come into. And he wasn't perfect. I mean, we know that 2001, the Diamondbacks beat him, but he certainly was as perfect as you could expect anybody to be in that role. And I think calming influence, those are the two words I think of when I think of Mariano Rivera.
I'm glad you guys could see it.
Yeah, you know, it was great. I'm still holding out some hope that he's not going to retire. He's going to come
he's
back
still
and
got
sign
it.
With us. You know what? That's the point I want to make, is watching him pitch. I mean, listen, he was maybe a little more dominating in the past, but he still broke all our bats every time he goes out there. It's
I like
amazing.
That, what you said, sign with us.
Sign with the Giants.
I like that.
I think I got a story here.
I like that. That's very good.
Giants try to convince Rivera to come out of retirement.
He just slid that in there very, very, very deftly. Yeah, I like that. All right. I like that. Rivera here. I can work with that.
Well, we know now that Brian Wilson ain't coming back. So,
I guess so. What did you think? Whatever your opinion was of how it went down, but you know, you're standing there, and here comes Wilson across the field. What are you thinking about?
Yeah, it's odd. It's odd. There's no doubt about it. We're shaking hands and looking back. What's Willie doing now? You know. So, we know Brian. You know, that's you know, he likes the spotlight, and he knew what he was doing, and he chose to do it. So it was I've never seen a moment like that when we were shaking hands on the field to have another guy come across to the owner. So
it makes my job easier, Marty, because now I don't have to worry about any rumors he's going to re-sign with the Giants. Right. We can pretty much put those to rest. So you know, I don't know what to make of it. I've listened to both sides and listened to what Larry Bear has to say and Stacy Slaughter about they've tried to get the ring to him, but apparently he wanted it on the field. You know, I don't know. It's I'll just wait to see what his next comment is when TMZ happens to flag him down on the street.
Yeah, to me, it's more, you know, the ring was just the symbol of some anger or uncomfortable that he has, some feeling he's got underneath the surface, and that was the way he felt to show it. Because, you know, it could be worked out with the ring. Believe me, you can talk about, gee, what could we do it this way, that way. You can work it out. But to take it this way, you're showing anger towards the Giants.
Well, and before that, before he signed, you know, Dave Righetti and Bill Hayes, they took time out of their schedule. They're obviously working every day through this season. They went out to USF with him early and caught a couple of bullpens, and Rags gave him some, you know, some advice and told him what he was seeing, and that's before he went and did his open tryout. Yeah. So, you know, we know he has a good relationship with many of the people that he was around every day with the Giants, or else, you know, why would those guys be a part of something like that? So, you know, I think you just try to take the high road at every opportunity and look back on his accomplishments as a Giant and the seasons he was a part of and realize that, you know, those will never go away. And then, you know, whatever he decides to do from here on is kind of his call.
Yeah, I think the just his outfit and the way he looks and everything else sort of tells you a little bit about him. You know, he's getting a little bit more bizarre, and the behavior sort of fit that the other day. But who knows? Whatever. All right, let's look at the playoffs. You know, you've been around. Let's give us a sort of a scouting report. Dodgers, St. Louis, Cincinnati. It's Liriano and Cueto in Pittsburgh for the wild card game. You got Atlanta with this great record, and as you say, who are their starting pitchers? And yeah, they still strike out a lot. How do you handicap this thing?
Well, on paper, and I haven't seen Atlanta in months, so you know, yeah, and haven't been really paying that close attention to them, but. You know, I think St. Louis and the Dodgers are probably the two best overall teams. And I think if you have any weakness in the playoffs, you know, it could get exposed, whether it's, a particular relief pitcher or a starter that can't get the job done. I mean, I like Kershaw and Greinke are a pretty good 1-2. They got a lot of experience. They got a lot of experience in the bullpen. They have guys that have been down there before. But so I think those two teams. But you can't predict it. Yeah. I mean, you really can't, because a particular performance can make the difference. You know, a guy has a great series, he has a great outing. So we can talk about it all we want. The one thing that I believe it's very difficult to predict when you're talking about these five clubs and how good they are. Yeah. Anybody can beat the other team, regardless of what the matchups are.
So what's the recipe? I mean, you won two World Series here. You've been in another World Series with the Giants. Well, what's the recipe when you say, all right, that team should have won? What do you want to have?
Well, I think, for us, we want it on pitching. I mean, I think that your pitching sets the tone, and it makes it much more difficult for the other team to win if you pitch. Your starting pitcher sets the tone. You know, I think if you play ahead in the game, it's much, much easier than if you play from behind, because you're counting on the offense to come through and do some things. And when you have that quality of pitching on your club, it's hard for the offense to come back and do that. So, you know what? It's whoever doesn't beat themselves, you know, take advantage of your opportunities, two out base hits. I mean, it's there's not a perfect recipe for it, but I think the pitching is one of the most important things that's going to enter into it.
Why do you like St. Louis? I mean, I look at them with Wainwright, and then, you got Joe Kelly, who's been terrific. When we saw Joe Kelly in the playoffs, if he came in, it was good. Because somebody got knocked out. But Joe Kelly's been terrific. Andy, Ron, we'll talk about it. You start off the Cardinals. What makes the Cardinals such a good team?
Well, I think more than their pitching, and I'm contradicting myself here a little bit, but I think offensively they've been the best team. What they do offensively, grind out at bats, put the ball in play. I think they've been the best team all year long. And I keep looking up at the scoreboard this last week, and they keep winning games. Yeah. And, there is something to be said for how you're playing going into this thing. You know, the one thing you worry about is complacency. If you win it early, like the Dodgers, and you don't play for anything, now you have to turn it on. I've always been my belief that if you're playing well, the wild cards, you know, they seem to do okay because they're in that win mode and grind it out. But, you know, St. Louis has been the best team, and they've been there before, so they know what to expect. But, again, you bring up good points about their pen, and they have power arms down there, and their other starters, but they have some players over there. There's no question.
Good. Banks.
Well, first of all, Alan Craig is nicked up, and so getting him healthy is going to be a key. But there are two reasons I like the Cardinals. One,
really?
It doesn't matter if they have household names or not. It doesn't matter if you haven't heard of Matt Carpenter. You don't even know what position he plays. He scored 125 runs this season. Mike Trout is second with 106 or 107. He scored 20% more runs than anybody else in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's phenomenal. He's got 55 doubles. That's two more than Stan Musial ever hit in his career in a single season. So, I mean, he's having an amazing year, and it doesn't matter if you don't know who he is or not. I mean, he's been productive as any second baseman in recent years. And they've got a lot of guys like that. And the other reason I like them is I think Mike Matheny learned some lessons in the postseason. He was pretty well outmanaged by Bruce Bochy and Mr. Wotus and the Giants coaching staff. I think that he made some mistakes. He could have brought in Rosenthal a lot sooner on a couple of occasions to kind of maybe cinch a game that was getting away. And I think he learned from it. I think he learned to have more of a sense of urgency when you manage in the postseason, because you have to have that. And I think that experience is going to really play well to him. But the other team I like is the Dodgers, simply because Greinke and Kershaw, I think, are the two. That's the best 1-2 punch that anybody has in the National League. And if there's anything that you can do to kind of weight the roulette table in your favor, it's having two really good starting pitchers, especially in a short series. So, you know, having said that, Atlanta's probably going to go sweep everybody, but... you know, I do like the Cardinals and the Dodgers.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I like the Reds, and I like the Dodgers. It's an upset if they don't win the pennant, for what Woe said and you guys said. When you got the starting pitching like that, you're putting the offense and the other team in a hole right away, and Kershaw and Greinke have done that, and Ryu can do it too. But there's something about the Reds, and, you know, Joey Votto gets on half the time, and you know, they got Bailey, they got Cueto, they have Arroyo, they have Latos, they've got Chapman. And they've been there before, but they've got to play Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and Liriano, a lefty, is going to go against Cincinnati. Cueto is going for the Reds. I just have this feeling if the Reds get past that first game, they've got the pitching. They have all the elements.
Why not? One other thing that the Giants really didn't have to contend with was a healthy Joey Votto. I mean, he had almost no power. Yeah. I think the last homer he hit last year was about in mid-June.
Yeah.
So, you know, all the trap guys they have in that lineup, you have to pitch around, Jay Bruce and all those guys. The Giants really didn't have to worry about Joey Votto hitting the ball out of the ballpark in the postseason last year. And if he had been healthy, then I don't think the Giants get out of Cincinnati. So they are a dangerous team, but like you said, they've got to get past that knockout game.
Well, Pirates haven't been there before, but here come the Reds.
Yeah. You know what? You wonder how the Pirates are going to respond to it. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. One game, you know, one game or you're out. And if you haven't been through that, you don't know what to expect. I mean, I've seen teams where, you know, they were the class of the league. They get to the playoffs. Guys haven't been there, and they're tight, or they're trying to do too much. And that certainly can enter into it. But the Pirates have been very good. I'm with you, Marty. I mean, my heart's with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I want Dusty Baker to get back to the World Series. I'd love to see them get it done. And you bring up great points. You know, it's hard to predict. You know, you look at Cincinnati, that's an outstanding club. All these teams are very good. It's going to boil down to the performances.
Yeah, I think this is great. I really do. I can't wait to see the National League. And, you know, I'm not as up on the American League. Max Scherzer and Verlander against the A's and Bartolo Colon. And then you got Cleveland, what a story they are. And, you know, you've got Boston and John Lester and Lackey. You know, you got the pitching there and Jake Peavy. You know, who knows what's going to happen there. For me, this playoff is one of the best in years, I must tell you.
And, I'm kind of rooting for the Cleveland Indians a little bit. I just think what was so cool about the Giants winning in 2010 was all those decades of pent-up emotion and people waiting and waiting and waiting. And I kind of feel like Cleveland is in that position to be maybe that Giants of the American League. They haven't won in so long. So, you know, and it's probably a surprise to a lot of people that they're right there. So I'm rooting for Cleveland. Maybe we can just, like, root for an all-Ohio World Series.
All right. All right. Yeah. So who do you say? Who's in the World Series, Bags?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know what? I'll bet you a lot of readers are thinking, why aren't we talking about the A's more? And I'm not ignoring them. But we just see National League games. We see National League baseball. That's what we're able to talk a little more intelligently about, probably. But from the American League, I really don't know. I would take the Tigers just because I think they've been there. They've got the guys who are, you know, the big stars, and they've got the pitching that I think can match up with anybody. You know, we always talk about Scherzer and Verlander, but, man, Fister was really good in the World Series last year. The Giants were lucky to get past him, and I think that he's a guy who can really pitch well deep into the playoffs again. So I'll take Detroit and the Dodgers. How about that?
Well, this is tough work. I'd rather go out and try to win
balls,
this baseball.
Right?
Hit some ground balls and do this. So let's go with L.A. Boston.
All right, L.A. Boston. I'm going to my pick a couple of weeks ago, L.A. Detroit. I'm gonna stick with that. But again, I think it's gonna be terrific. I'm sorry the Giants aren't in it, but for baseball itself, it's really pretty good. All right, I want to take just a short break and ask you guys about MVP, Cy Young, things like that. You guys, National League have a couple of good races to see. Maybe Kershaw's got it locked up, but there's an argument I'm gonna make for a St. Louis pitcher here. And Bags is looking at me. All right, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on the Sports Leader.
All right, well, first of all, I want to thank you for the whole year of doing this. It's terrific. I love it. It's a great segment. We got great feedback, and I want to thank you for doing this.
Oh, great, Marty. I've enjoyed it as well. It's been great being with you every Sunday, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, the coaches listen.
Yeah, they get a chance to harass me, so that's why they listen.
And Andy, for you, you've been with me all year on the shows. I appreciate it. You're always available, and thank you so much.
Of course, and I'm glad we get to do this, and you get to have Ron on too, because you know we as beat writers are on the road so much and spring training so much, and get to talk to Ron and so many of the other coaches, and just ask him, you know, just random baseball questions, and always get a thoughtful answer. I learn something about baseball every day, and it's thanks to guys like Ron Wotus.
Yeah, very good, Will. Very good. All right, Bags, MVP in National League. We've got McCutcheon. We've got Molina in there. Maybe a Dodger. Maybe Joey Votto. How does this shape up?
You're telling me my Matt Carpenter stats didn't
Matt
sway you
Carpenter,
at all?
Matt Carpenter, you know, not enough people know him. But
okay,
but he may be the MVP of the Cardinals, I'll tell you that, and that puts him in pretty good territory.
Well, I'll take Yadier Molina. I think that, you know, I saw a stat somewhere that something like 30 or 35 or 38% of their innings have been thrown by rookies this season. And, you know, and they haven't missed a beat. And I think that that doesn't happen unless you have just some stellar leadership behind the plate. We were talking about it in the break. Nobody knows hitters can break down hitters like Yadier can. Nobody can stabilize a game like he can. And and then you look at what he's done on the offensive side. He did miss a little bit of time this year. And I think McCutcheon's had a fabulous year up and down. And you got to pay respect to what the Pirates have done, but you know, if not for Buster Posey, Yadier would have been the MVP last year, I think, and I think he might be this year.
Well, Yadier, where do you go with that?
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. We talked during the break, as he said. You know, you can make the argument, and probably so, that McCutcheon has probably meant just as much to his team winning you know, this year as Molina has, because St. Louis is so good. Without Molina, they were still able to hold their own. So McCutcheon may mean that much more to Pittsburgh, but if I have to pick one of the two for the MVP, I'm going to go with the catcher. I'm going to go with Molina, what he means to the team and what he does.
Catchers.
And voters can look at it one of two ways. And you can either just go really based on the stats and the war and all of that stuff, or you can vote for who has the best narrative, you know, who really has the best story. And I think you do some of both. I think good voters will do a blend of both. And some years it's very cut and dried, like the Cy Young race in the NL, which we'll get to next, I'm sure.
Yeah,
The MVP is a tough one. I have Cy Young, so I don't have to worry about scratching my head and filling out my MVP ballot today.
I'm going with McCutcheon. I think what Woe said, Pittsburgh does not win without McCutcheon. Votto for Cincinnati, I think he gets a lot of play, too. Cardinals were so good. Like Andy said, Matt Carpenter, you got Molina. Yeah. I'd go with McCutcheon. I think they're nowhere there without this guy, so that's where I'm going with
that. He's
going
to get a lot of votes, and he may well win it. Yeah. I mean, you know, we don't see that division as much and follow them like they do out there in the East or in the Midwest, so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
All right, Kershaw, Locke?
I think so. I mean, he's got he's led the league in strikeouts again. He's got the ERA under two, lowest ERA by a Dodger since Sandy Koufax. And, you know, you look at the complete games and the innings, there's only two guys in the National League who have been workhorses to the, you know, to the nth degree, and that's Wainwright and Kershaw, and then Cliff Lee right below them. So, you know, for me, when I look at who the Cy Young is, I don't just look at ERA and WHIP and all those other strikeouts and those other things. I look at complete games. I look at innings, because that's value. And, you know, if a guy is throwing an extra inning per start on average, if a guy's throwing 230 innings versus 200 innings, I mean, how much value is that? You get an extra inning out of that guy every start. And so that's why Kershaw will be one, Wainwright will be two, and I'm going to really, really try hard to get Madison Bumgarner on there. I think he's had a phenomenal year. You look at his batting average against, it's gone from like 260 to 230 to 220 to 200 this year. It's going to be the lower than than Tim Lincecum's batting average against in either of his Cy Young seasons,
wow.
Which people don't really realize. So I want to find a way to get Bumgarner on there. You want to pay your respect to Harvey and what he did with the Mets. And Fernandez, of course, had a fantastic year for the Marlins. And then Greinke's had a great year, too. So even though they've expanded this ballot for us from 3 to 5, there's still about 7 guys that I would love to get on there. And it's going to be hard to leave somebody off.
Right, very good. Well?
Well, he's in our division. We see him way too much. And every time we face him, we know it's going to be a 1 or 2 run game. And I'm going to have to go with Kershaw as well. And the things that jump out at me and have these stats here in front of me that are here, you know, 195 batting average against, you know, Wainwright, 248. And he's allowed 30 less earned runs Kershaw has opposed to Wainwright. And so I'd give the nod to Kershaw, no doubt.
Yeah, I think so. I like what Andy said. I think Bumgarner ought to be in the third spot. Wainwright, for me, is second. And I like Fernandez in the fourth spot. And then I would go Cliff Lee. I keep charts of this stuff. No walks, 13 strikeouts. No walk, 14 strikeouts. Cliff Lee has been unbelievable to me.
He just keeps doing it, doesn't he, Cliff Lee? He keeps coming up with great years. And a tough pitcher's park over there. Yeah.
It's no walks and 14 strikeouts. You know, he does it more than anybody.
Strikeout-to-walk ratio, I think, is a good one.
It's like 30 to 220. I mean, something ridiculous.
Yep, when I look at Giants in the minor leagues, and I look at the things statistically that'll pop out to me, it's strikeouts per inning and strikeout-to-walk ratio, batting average against. You know, because some of these guys play in pitchers' leagues or hitters' leagues or whatever, but those are things that generally will play out the same, and that tells you that they have stuff. And if you have stuff, then you can succeed at higher levels.
All right. Kyle, you want to give the we have something for both of you, both of you this morning. We have there's now a Marty Lurie fan club. And you do not have to pay the 25 cents. So Billy Ferrer over in San Rafael has put it together. And we did this at the public house yesterday. It was very funny. So we have the Marty Lurie Fan Club. You both now are charter members without paying the 25 cents.
Marty, I can't thank you enough for this honor, and I want you to know I am going to pay the 25 cents. Okay, I don't want you to have that over me until next year. I'll leave my quarter on the table.
Thank you
the
very
way
much.
Out.
All right,
then.
Where do I go to light the incense?
Very good.
Okay,
they brought that out yesterday.
Oh,
so
this is great.
Fun. All
thank
right,
you,
guys,
Marty.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
great
Marty.
Season, and I'll see you out on the field.
I thought this was going to be a certificate to the House of Prime Rib, didn't you?
I'm not done yet.
I don't want to sound ungrateful.
We have a long day today. Don't worry.
Okay.
We've got the wine in the car. Okay.
All right. Now you're talking.
Right. All right, guys, thanks so much, and have a good day and a pleasure, as I say.
Same here, Marty. You take
thank
care.
Thank you, Marty.
All right, Ron Woe to Sandy Bagley. More coming up on the Sports Leader.
All right, Marty.